This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is Teresa Opheim, Executive Director of the Practical Farmers of Iowa, a nonprofit whose mission is to research, develop, and promote profitable, ecologically sound, and community-enhancing approaches to agriculture. Teresa has a variety of experience in sustainable agriculture. She was executive director for the Midwest Sustainable Agriculture Working Group and Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. She also has served as communications director at the Iowa Environmental Council and as editor for the National Wetlands Newsletter, the Environmental Forum, the EPA Journal, and the Environmental Information Service. Teresa Opheim is here today to tell us about transitioning to more sustainable agriculture in the Midwest. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you very much.
Would you begin by giving us the history of the Practical Farmers of Iowa? What led to the Practical Farmers being formed?
Yes, back in 1985, there were a couple farmers here in central Iowa who were getting a little frustrated with our land-grant university, Iowa State University, and the kind of research that was coming out of the land grant. And they decided that as much on-farm research and demonstration they could do to figure out what worked on their farms, the better. And so they formed this group, which they named Practical Farmers of Iowa, because they thought they were being practical by exploring solutions on their own farm.
What are the goals of the Practical Farmers of Iowa?
Well, we are very interested in farmers learning from other farmers. We're interested in more diverse farms throughout the state, farms where there are both crops and livestock, where there is wildlife and healthy soils, and farmers have the ability to be innovative and produce food and fiber that benefits us all.
Who belongs to the Practical Farmers of Iowa?
Our membership is wildly diverse. It is one of the most diverse farmer memberships in the nation, I'm guessing. We have farms that are 2 to 3 acres, that people are growing intensive vegetables, using biodynamic principles, for example, up to 4,000 or 5,000 acre farms that are just corn and soybeans. We just have a huge diversity in our membership.
What led to your personal interest in sustainable agriculture?
I am a fourth generation Iowan. I grew up in a town in North Iowa and left for Minnesota and Washington, D.C. after I finished law school, and always wanted to come back. I just was thinking about Iowa pretty constantly. When I decided to have a child about 14 years ago, the only place I really wanted to raise a child was here. So I came back, and I had always worked in the environmental nonprofit community. And when you live in Iowa, you very quickly learn about agricultural issues if you're working in environmental issues, because our landscape is heavily agriculture.
How would you characterize agriculture in Iowa in 2009 in terms of what has grown and how it has grown?
Our state is intensively row cropped. It is, as far as you can see, you can go from one corner of the state to another and just see corn and soybeans if you don't know where to look. We have 23 members in our organization, and some of them are just have corn and soybeans, but most of them are more diverse than that. So we are really interested in pursuing the diversity that used to be on the Iowa landscape. When my mother grew up on a farm, they raised probably, up to 25 different crops. They raised a lot of their own fruits and vegetables and definitely raised their own meat. And we would like to see that diversity back on the landscape. It's better for our health. It's better for the environment as well.
What is the typical size of a farm in Iowa?
Well, it is 300 to 400 acres might be a mid-sized farm. Farms are both getting larger and smaller. We're losing that mid-sized farm. So you're getting a lot of farmers who are capitalizing on economies of scale in that 2 to 5,000 acre range. 1,000 acres of corn and soybeans may not be enough to support a couple families anymore on the Iowa landscape. So some are taking advantage of those economies of scale, and then others are figuring out how to use land to grow niche products or diversified farming that they can make an income on a smaller amount of land.
How does Iowa compare with other parts of the Midwest in this regard?
Well, Illinois has a similar landscape to Iowa, and so there are a lot of similar types of field crop farms. Southern Minnesota is also similar. Wisconsin has a different terrain, so you will have a lot more dairy and grass-based operations than we have here in Iowa. And then the further west you get, even into western Iowa, the climate gets drier, and so you see a lot more grass-based operations because they would have to irrigate pretty heavily to raise field crops. A lot of them do, but you do see a lot more grass-based operations. One thing I really love about Iowa is that it could be a sustainable place. There's plenty of water. The climate is good for growing. We have hot, humid summers. So we just have the natural resources that we could feed ourselves to a large extent if we wanted to.
What are some of the changes in agricultural practices that the Practical Farmers of Iowa would like to promote?
Well, for those who are just corn and soybeans, we would like them to add some kind of third crop. And one thing that we're working pretty extensively on right now are to try to get people to plant cover crops. So to keep that black gold soil here, it is incredibly rich and wonderful. I compare it to chocolate cake sometimes when I pick it up. If the soil is well treated, it's just an incredible gift we were given. So to have that soil uncovered for a lot of the year is not a sustainable practice. So we're interested in people planting cover crops, you say rye or a winter wheat, when after they've harvested their corn and soybeans. The challenge for that for farmers is that they are the busiest about this time of year when they're harvesting. And to get a cover crop on before the snow and the ground freezes is sometimes hard. If you work with farmers and you know how hard it is to actually make a change in your practices, then you're more sympathetic to what they go through.
Are there additional changes you would like to promote in addition to cover crops?
Yes, we're interested in livestock and grain diversification. So as someone who doesn't eat a lot of meat, I've come to kind of change my view on what it takes to make a sustainable agriculture operation. If you have livestock in your system, you have the manure that you can use for fertilizer to grow crops. You also can have a more sustainable farm in that you have more work for a farm family to do. So you have different enterprises, and different enterprises can keep more of the family members busy and profitable. So we're interested in having as much livestock as possible integrated into the cropping systems. And of course, we're very interested in people growing as much food as possible. So we're interested in building local food systems, bringing back some of the regional support for farmers that we used to have even two generations ago, so that farmers can make a living growing food for Iowans.
In a sense, you've alluded to this, but how receptive are current farmers to making some of these changes that you are promoting?
There are a huge number of people wanting to start farming, and I'm sure you see that even more in your area there in the Seattle area. But we see it as well. We have in our membership alone 145 young people who want to farm. A lot of them are not from farm families. They're urban and suburban kids who are just really taken with growing food and really committed. One of the most exciting trends that I've seen. So we're working on programming to help those young people get started farming, help them access land. Even here in Iowa, farmland will go for $5,000-$6,000 an acre, and that is out of the price range of many young people who want to farm. So we need to help them access the land, access loans, come up with good business plans so that they actually can be professional and profitable growing food. So that is a big category that we're working on right now, and it's an exciting one. The growth of the local foods movement means that I think people are understanding how important it is that we have farmers, and we hope that they're willing to really support farmers and give them the price they need to succeed.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Teresa Opheim, Executive Director of the Practical Farmers of Iowa. Our topic is transitioning to more sustainable agriculture in the Midwest. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. You've alluded to this a bit earlier, but what are some of the changes toward more sustainable agriculture that are currently taking place in Iowa?
Well, the changes include this huge growth in the local foods movement. So we are seeing a lot of farmers switching to growing some kind of food, either fruits, vegetables, grains, meats. So I think that's a real change from when I grew up about 25 years ago or so. There was not a strong farmers market movement here in Iowa, and it was just really difficult to find someone growing local food who you could, you know, rely on to supply you with sustenance, which is a very sad commentary on a state like this, which has agriculture as its proudest achievement. So that is a really strong trend. Another one is, I think, in the policy arena, where we now have on the federal level a program called the Conservation Stewardship Program. And that program is compensating farmers for essentially ecosystem services that they provide. And so hopefully, instead of just paying farmers for growing certain crops in the future, crops we may or may not need more of, such as corn and soybeans, we can compensate farmers for what they provide all of us in clean water, in biodiversity, those kinds of services. That's especially important in a place like Iowa that is so intensively farmed.
What fraction of Iowa farming would fall under the umbrella of sustainable agriculture at present?
Well, I think that all depends on how you define sustainability. And I don't think any of us are there. All of us are on a road towards sustainability. And so we are interested in farmers taking whatever next step it takes to get closer to sustainability. So if it's a corn and soybean farmer, it might be planting rye and making sure that they can make that work in their system. And then maybe they'll take another step. Maybe they'll go to a more diversified rotation in the future. And so for them, that's a step towards sustainability. For some of our other farmers, then their next step towards sustainability may be to come up with a completely closed loop on their farm where there's no soil leaving the farm. They are completely growing their own food. They are completely selling to a very local food system. They are putting more carbon back into the soil than they're using in the farming system. That is a completely different level of sustainability, but those people are also on the same path. I've gotten a little tired of labels in the work that I have with this group because the diversity is so tremendous, and I think that's wonderful. I think we need to start working more with the diversity of opinions. We've got people in our membership who would like the federal government to completely get out of farming, and we have people who feel exactly the opposite. For example, we have small organic farmers who are opt-out-of-the-system kind of people, and we have large organic farmers who have confined animal feeding operations. And all of us have a different idea about what they need to do next, but they're all working together for a group that is promoting farmer-to-farmer networking and farmer-to-farmer learning and connections with consumers.
To what extent are Iowa farmers expanding the number of different crops they raise?
Mostly, we still have corn and soybean farmers, to tell you the truth. The group that we have in our membership are innovators. They are the ones who are either out front trying new practices or they never bought into a system to begin with that led them to rely on subsidy payments for their livelihood.
What do you see as the key challenges in moving toward more sustainable agriculture in Iowa?
I think a strong challenge is our policy system that rewards farmers for growing certain crops. Most farmers are tied into a system where they really need those subsidy payments to stay on the farm. So until we can encourage them to grow other crops and make it more profitable, they will be tied into that system. That is a real barrier to doing something different on the land. Another one is, frankly, attitude. We have a population where there's a lot of peer pressure among farmers to only do what their neighbors are doing. And that means that doing something different, like going to an organic system, is sometimes ridiculed by other farmers. So that's a real barrier, people not accepting other people trying different things. But for the most part, that's why farmers come together in groups like this, because they can network with each other, they can share information. We have a strong research and demonstration program where farmers are trying all kinds of different things on their farms. And what I love most about that is that they're actually the ones identifying the questions they want to try, and they're the ones actually doing the trials to figure out answers to their questions.
How do the current markets available for agricultural products affect the ability to transition to sustainable agriculture?
Well, here in the Midwest, we basically lost our infrastructure, really, to sell food on a regional food system level. So we have to rebuild all that, and that's a tremendous challenge. So we have to get consumers to think about purchasing more of their food dollars through local farmers. One main reason to do that is that the farmer will get a larger percentage of the food dollar. I belong to an internet ordering system here in Ames, Iowa, where I live, where when I purchase through this internet ordering system and go to the local church to pick up my order once a week, about 90% of my food dollar is going directly to the farmer. If I go to the grocery store, for example, with a pound of bacon, a farmer that might retail for, say, $3, a farmer will get roughly 40 cents, around 40 cents for that dollar. So milk, a farmer will get one-third of the price that you're paying in the grocery store. I don't know if you've ever farmed, tried growing your own food, but it is tremendously difficult work. And I think those who are doing that for us deserve a much better return than what they get in the grocery store. So that is something to keep in mind. If you can, buy as much food directly from farmers. At the farmers market, that's a good option, but there are also a lot of innovative ways to do it going on, I'm sure, in Seattle. If they're going on in Iowa, I'm sure they've been going on in Seattle for 20 years. So really be cognizant of that, because that's the only way we're going to get more people to successfully transition to growing food.
How widespread are the direct marketing programs in Iowa?
We have two cities that have an internet ordering system, like I just described. We have farmers markets in almost every town over 5,000 population. So some of those are very small farmers markets. The Des Moines one is a huge one and very successful. We have more efforts to get food into school systems and into Iowa State University, for example, other institutional places. Those all have tremendous challenges to do that. The challenges include people are not used to having to cook food, and so they're used to opening a bag in food services and just dumping out the food and heating it. Buying locally requires you to actually know how to cook food, and that's more effort and more skill on the part of the food service people. Also, uniformity is an issue. If you're growing your own food, not all the potatoes are going to be the same size. The chickens are certainly not going to be all the same size. So there are all kinds of issues on getting people to move to buying more locally.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Teresa Opheim, Executive Director of the Practical Farmers of Iowa. Our topic is transitioning to more sustainable agriculture in the Midwest. What public policies most encourage sustainable agriculture?
Well, this program I mentioned, the Conservation Stewardship Program, I think is a significant change for our federal policy, because it is a shift to rewarding farmers not for what they grow, but for how they grow it. So those with organic rotations, those more diversified farms, those who have left places for wildlife, all of that should be rewarded under this new program. So that's a big one. With the Obama administration, there's a lot more going on to fund local food efforts, and so I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that. So any kind of research or basically organizing dollars that can go to local food systems will happen to a greater extent than they did before in this administration. It's a very welcome change.
Earlier, you mentioned crop subsidies as a policy discouraging sustainable agriculture. Are there other public policies that discourage sustainable agriculture?
Yes, that's really the big one, though. If you want to have a grass-based livestock system where you're keeping the ground completely covered, keeping your soil in place, providing wildlife habitat, you are at a real disadvantage from doing that in Iowa because the system is completely set up to reward those who grow corn and soybeans. So you're taking quite a hit financially by doing that kind of system. We have a lot of farmers who do that, but they are really innovative farmers to be able to say no to a system that really rewards them quite well for growing corn and soybeans. So that's really the biggest issue here in Iowa. There are a variety of other issues. I think one that we should all be paying more attention to is how we use our current system to hide costs that we and our children will be paying for in the future. One of those here in Iowa is soil erosion is a big issue. If we continue to allow farmers to send their soil down the Mississippi River, which is our watershed, into the Gulf of Mexico where it creates a hypoxic zone, if we continue to allow that, we're killing the fishing industry in Louisiana and we're killing a farm tradition here in Iowa. Our soil is our most valuable resource and a true gift to the people of Iowa, made by thousands of years of tall grass prairie decomposing into the ground. So that's a real challenge. I also think a system that does not charge energy costs to the extent they should be charged will be changing. I think we're going to be seeing much higher priced oil, and that is going to really significantly impact our farmers here in Iowa who have used pretty energy-intensive systems for the most part. We're starting to work on that now here at Practical Farmers of Iowa and measure the changes that they could make in their systems to save on energy costs, put more money in their pocketbooks, but also preserve their farms for the future.
Would you comment just briefly on the issue of an aging farmer population?
Oh, that is a huge issue here in Iowa and one that we are very interested in working on. The average age of farmers, especially in the more conventional group, is growing every year. And more significantly than that, I think, is that a lot of the land here in Iowa is owned by people who do not farm. And a lot of them are aging. So in 2007, 55% of farmland in Iowa was owned by people who are over the age of 65. And even a quarter of the land was owned by people over 75 years old. A lot of these are women, a lot of widows. And so there's going to be a tremendous land transfer in the next decade or so. And the trends are that a lot of that land is going to go to people who live out of state, out of Iowa, or people who live in cities who don't have any farm connection. A lot of those people hold on to their land because they have some nostalgic connection to it, or they're using it for income. But we need to encourage those people to pay attention to the farming practices that their lessees are using and also offer opportunities for beginning farmers to get started and those who want to try something more diversified. So that is a huge issue for us because the land is really just not accessible to beginning farmers in Iowa.
Who are the new farmers? You mentioned earlier that a number of them are people that don't have a farm background.
Well, there are all kinds of people. I will give you a couple examples. In our membership, we have Chris, who grew up in the town where I live, Ames, a town without the university, about 30,000. No connection at all to a farm, no grandparents or parents farming. But this person realized early on that he wanted to commit himself to improve the world. He had a love of being outside, a love of good food, and he wants to farm. So he's taking over a vegetable production here close to town, to our town, and doing a transition on that. We also have people like Daniel. Daniel grew up on an organic, one of the first certified organic operations here in Iowa, very diverse, I believe a 7-year rotation of different crops. They still have hogs and they have cattle in the system. And he has graduated from Iowa State University and moved back to farm. And so that would be another example. A final one that I'll bring up is Susan, who is in her early 50s, had a career as a newspaper reporter, actually, and she decided she wanted to do something different. She was raised on a farm, and she has come back to both be with her elderly mother, but then also start a farming operation at the age of early 50. We like those little older farmers as well because they tend to come with a lot of experience, and they also tend to have some resources they can put into their farms, which is really helpful for them to get started farming.
What is your prediction as to how the agricultural landscape will look in Iowa and the Midwest in general in 25 years from now?
25 years from now, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more diversified systems. I don't think there's any other option. I think we're going to be seeing a farm population that realizes they have become too specialized. If they want to be more resilient, they need to be more diverse, especially with some volatile climate issues that we're dealing with as well as everyone else. But only raising one crop is just not going to be a resilient system in the future. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more land planted to pasture, permanently pasture, and we're going to be seeing on our landscape, we'll still be seeing corn and soybeans. Corn, if you have some Iowa roots, you know how just incredibly productive corn is. We'll still have a lot of corn in 25 years, but we're going to be seeing a lot more other crops on the landscape as well. We will see fruit and vegetable operations, many of them surrounding our cities and towns, and I don't think we'll have any other choice. It sounds like a good future to me, and I think it's the one we're going to have here in Iowa.
We're out of time, but what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Oh, I would like to leave your listeners with the thought that the more you get to know farmers, the more you admire them. You realize how incredibly difficult their jobs are, how much they're managing, how much risk they're taking. Just think about it, relying on the weather for your career. And so we need to be patient with them in making changes. We need to be supportive. We need to support them financially with our food dollar as much as possible. It's a wonderful, wonderful life being so well connected with your food as I am able to be in this job with fresh and local food, with people who work hard on the land, who take good care of their land, who know a lot about skills that we all used to have, who know how to cook, who know how to can fruits and vegetables, who know how to fix equipment, all those kinds of practical skills. So the more you get to know farmers, the more you'll benefit, and I really encourage it. They're a wonderful group.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Teresa.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope this is useful for your audience to hear from someone in the Midwest.
We have just been speaking with Teresa Opheim, Executive Director of the Practical Farmers of Iowa. For more information, check on the web at www.practicalfarmers.org. Again, that's practicalfarmers.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.